We're in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego today, found in Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I find it interesting how the Bible emphasizes that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were fully clothed and tied up when they're thrown into the furnace. It's a little bit of a strange thing for Daniel to mention if you think about it, because nobody really expects they're going to waste the time stripping them down before they throw them in the fire. So, why does the Bible point it out? I mean, why mention all that clothing? Well, take a look at a short little passage found in the book of Jude, Jude verse 23, and you're going to notice something very interesting. Here's what it says. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now, when the author of the book of Jude actually wrote that, I somehow doubt that he was thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jude is simply talking about pulling other people out of the fire of sin, and he mentions just how contaminating sin can be. Figuratively speaking, it even stains the clothes you're wearing. Now, take that thought and go back to our story. Did the three young Hebrews have this punishment coming? Was it their fault they ended up in the furnace? Well, the answer is no. And yes, they were personally innocent when it came to the matter of bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. But the nation of Israel as a whole was in Babylon because of their rebellion against God. Without that rebellion, we would have never had the story of the fiery furnace. Of course, I want to be really careful with this because we could easily come to the wrong conclusion, which is easy to do when you start studying how sin works and how we inherit a sinful nature from our parents. So, for today, I just want to point out one simple thing. When it comes to sin, human beings find themselves helpless. We inherited sinful tendencies from our parents. The suffering we endure may not be our fault personally, but it has come as a result of our collective human rebellion against God. So when bad things happen to good people, it isn't really their fault. But it is our fault, collectively. And eventually, when sin takes its ultimate toll on you, it takes everything you have. The wages of sin, says the Bible, is death. What I find really interesting is the way you can see how God feels about what's happening. In the book of Jude, you see that His love for you is so great that He's desperate to pull you out of the fire. When life throws its worst at you, you can know that God is eager to do something about it. You might be headed for the furnace, lock, stock, and barrel, the way we all are. But you can know that God intends to do something. Of course, He's not going to do it without your permission, because He's just not that kind of God. He doesn't force anybody. But given the fact that we're all in the fire, letting God act and cooperating with Him has got to be the better way to live.